Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. Well, we had three people that had already called in, and they were accidentally kicked out of our system. So give us a call back right now. Join the conversation tonight. We saw that the lines were filled up, and now they're wide open. And hey, if you want to sneak in there and be the fourth, give us a call right now as well. Four open lines right now for you, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called us in the past, maybe even a few times, but you got something brand new on your heart tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You're looking for that grace message perspective. Well, that's exactly why we're here for you for the next half hour, toll-free across the United States and Canada. And once again, if you had already called in and you've been kicked out accidentally, call us right back. We'd love to take your questions. We saw you there at the top of the hour. Be a part of tonight's conversation as well. But regardless, if you've got something going on in your personal life, a scripture passage that is of concern to you, maybe something you've been wondering about for a while or chatting with a friend in a coffee shop about, whatever it may be, give us a call right now and join the conversation. Three open lines right now, 877-655-6755. All right, we're going to go to North Carolina, and we'll talk with Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Pastor Farley. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Patrick. What's on your heart tonight?
I have a friend. He professes faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, and he saved my faith. But then he's always talking about, like, kingdom living, and he uses a phrase called frozen chosen, like, oh, I'm saved now, I'll do anything. And I try to explain to him, I'm like, no, it's your faith it's that relationship with the Holy Spirit through your faith that leads and guides you in your walk with Christ, and, you know, and not necessarily this feeling that I have to do things. It's that you are led and want to do things just out of love. Mm-hmm. And anyway, kingdom living, I'm just not exactly sure what that means.
Yeah, well, what you're encountering there is a generic term, a kingdom living, and you're right, there's something funny going on there. That it's just a term, it's just a phrase, but at the end of the day, that's not my motivation. I don't wake up and go, I'm gonna enjoy kingdom living today. I'm going to engage in kingdom living. I'm living for the kingdom. Well, how about we focus on the king, not the kingdom? And as far as motivation, our motivation is living from the heart, giving from the heart, loving from the heart. And it's all about that new identity that we have in Christ. So, you know, we could pick at words and phrases. There's not that much wrong with this phrase he's using, but I would imagine that you're just noticing, hey, there's got to be a different motivation here, a deeper motivation, not just some pep rally for kingdom living. Because, look, at the end of the day, there's a motivation given in the New Testament. It's plastered all over the writings of Paul, Peter, James, and John. And it's certainly not, hey, get out there and do some kingdom living. Instead, it's you're dead to the law, free from the law, not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. You're dead to sin, alive to God. Look who you are. therefore put on love, put on compassion, wear clothes that fit, you know, act in a way that lines up with your beautiful calling, live in a manner that's worthy of your calling. Do things that are fitting for saints, because that's who you are. You're a saint. You're a child of God. You're holy and righteous and blameless. So the motivation has to be coming from within, and it's not some pep rally about changing the world and living for the kingdom. We got to keep our focus on the King. We look at the source, not the effect. And, you know, you could wake up and have your eyes on the effect, and in the process, you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus. So let's look to Him. Let's fix our eyes on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's recognize our union with Him. Let's live from Him and not merely for Him. So I hope that helps, Patrick. Call us back anytime. Great to hear from you. Well, it's an honor. It's a real privilege to share this message of God's grace. We've been doing so for decades now, and this is a special time in our ministry. As I look back, our ministry has never had an opportunity like this one. During the month of December, we have a matching grant of $400,000. Wow, $400,000. That means your gift is doubled up to that amount. And we want to take full advantage of this matching gift opportunity. It's incredible. Our ministry has never experienced it before. We encourage you, if you have ever thought about giving to the Grace Message, if you like who we are, what we're doing, what we're about, you want to see us reach even more people with the love and grace of God, well, give your gift today, because for the next 25 days in the month of December, this is the greatest opportunity we've ever had, a matching grant of $400,000. Now, that means that your gift of $100 becomes $200. Your gift of $500 becomes $1,000. Your gift of $1,000 becomes $2,000. It effectively doubles every gift up to $400,000. I mean, just even explaining that is off the charts unbelievable to me. It's so exciting. We want to take full advantage of this opportunity. We've had generous friends come forward. They want to inspire your giving. They want to inspire donors in the month of December as we come to year end. You know, we want to go into 2023 strong and stable and able to reach even more people with the love of God, the grace of God, and the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. So give your gift today at andrewfarley.org. Of course, we're a tax-deductible, nonprofit Christian media organization. Your gift is tax-deductible, and we just could not be more thrilled about this amazing opportunity. Plus, this month, when you give your gift, we're giving a thank you to each and every donor. It's a new resource we've created called The Best of 2022. It is our most requested messages of the year compiled in one series. It's powerful, it's encouraging, it's liberating. You're going to love it. It's called The Best of 2022. It's your gift, and we just want to give it to you, to each and every donor who participates in this amazing opportunity in December. Again, for more information, go to our website at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. All right, well, let's go now to California, and we'll talk with Mark. Hey, Mark, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, Andrew, can you hear me?
I can, no problem.
Okay, great. See, my question is this. I've read about grace through you and a few others, and I've just really grown through that, and I've expressed some of it to my brother-in-law, and he talks about what's really important is what you do. He always goes back to when Jesus is saying that he was seated on his left, when what you didn't do to the least of these brothers of mine, you didn't do for me. And I think, you know, I'm driving. I can't look up the passage. But it just seems to me that is what Jesus said. Was that contrary to what you're talking about, or is it in line with it, or was that something that was more Old Covenant? So I'm just trying to understand.
Sure.
How that.
Here. Yeah, well, no, it's not contrary. I mean, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. I mean, it's encouraging. Everything you do is spiritual. Everything you do is a big deal. I mean, look at you. You're holy and righteous and blameless. You participate in the divine nature. You're born of God. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. And, you know, so people are asking, is what I do important? And it's not contrary to grace. It's perfectly compatible with grace. By grace, you were invited to participate in this beautiful new life of union with Jesus. And by grace, you get to exude the life of Jesus to other people. You get to learn who you are in Christ, be yourself, and express Jesus at the same time. So whatever you do to the least of these, this is a compliment. And it's a compliment because even giving a cup of water in his name matters. So Jesus is affirming that if we're in Christ and we're walking by the Spirit, then everything we do is spiritual. Everything we do is worthwhile. Everything we do is a beautiful expression of Jesus. I mean, there's only two ways to walk. Either you're expressing Jesus or you're expressing sin. Did you ever notice there's not a third walk? I mean, you don't walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh or walk a third way. No, there's only walking by the flesh and walking by the Spirit. So if you're not sinning, then what are you doing? You're walking by the Spirit. So there you are, brushing your teeth, walking by the Spirit. There you are, driving to school or work. You're walking by the Spirit. There you are, disciplining your kids or having a meaningful conversation with your spouse or hanging out, just chilling on the sofa. You're walking by the Spirit. Everything is spiritual. Even if you give a cup of water in his name, well, it's celebrated because it's an expression of Jesus. It's bearing fruit. So this is perfectly compatible. The problem is when somebody comes along and just puts the cart before the horse and they say, oh my goodness, we gotta be busy giving cups of water. Well, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if you give a cup of water in my name. So, you know, he could have said, you know, if you put a coat on somebody's back. He could have said, if you forgive somebody when they wrong you. He could have said, if you smile and give somebody a friendly hug or handshake. He could have said a thousand things. But see, we want to legislate it. We want to, you know, take a chapter and verse and turn it into some sort of legislation where we tell all Christians to go out and start doing this stuff. And that's where it becomes cookie cutter Christianity. And we stop living from the heart and we stop experiencing the uniqueness of Christ's life within us. So definitely, you know, Jesus is talking about loving people and living in a way that is fruit bearing. And it's not contradictory to grace. It's actually the only way you can do it is by grace. That's the truth. I mean, Titus 2:11 says the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin and live upright lives. So this would be living an upright life, right? Well, only the grace of God teaches us that. Likewise, you talk about bearing fruit. I mean, Romans tells us in Romans 7, it says you died to the law so that you might bear fruit to God. So how are you going to bear fruit to God? Only by dying to the law. Well, what does that mean? That means you're going to be living under grace, not law. And then you're going to bear fruit to God. So if giving a cup of water is bearing fruit, and if doing something to the least of these is bearing fruit, then guess how you're going to bear fruit? You're going to bear fruit by God's grace. So, you know, it's like the blind men describing the elephant. Somebody's describing the tail. They're hanging on to it, saying it's long and slender. It's wagging all over the place. Somebody else is holding the leg, and they're saying it's thick like a tree trunk. And then somebody else has got a hold of the ear, and they're saying it's oval-shaped and flat. Everybody's describing a different part of the elephant. Well, that's what's happening with you and your discussions. You're describing the source and the inspiration and the motivation. Then your friend there, I guess you said it was your brother-in-law, he's describing the final result. Now, there is an issue. If you put the final result first and all you do is preach the result, hey, everybody, get busy. Get out there giving cups of water. Hey, everybody, get out there and treat the least of these the best you can. Go, go, rah, rah, let's change the world. Go. Well, then all you've got is legalism on your hands, because you're teaching the result without the foundation. You're teaching the final product without the source. So I hope that makes sense, my friend. I'll put you back on and see. Does that help, Mark? Does that clear it up?
Yeah, that does. I think maybe the discussion ought to go to understanding that it's, I don't know, two sides of the same coin or something like that, that it's really, there needs to be, but you need to have the understanding of grace as a foundation. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes, without that understanding of grace, I mean, again, you have no foundation. Anybody can talk about treating people well. In fact, the world is doing that. The world says, let's get out there and treat people well. Let's be fair. Let's be kind. Let's be tolerant. Let's be loving. The Mormons are saying, let's be kind. Let's be loving. The Muslims are saying, let's do good works. Let's please God. You could go on and on. I mean, Buddhism, and you could go down the list of world religions. Everybody's saying, let's have a good result. Come on. Let's do a good job here. Let's show off our religion for other people so that they'll want to be like us. And then we Christians think we're real original when we get up in church on Sunday morning and tell people to live better, do more, be more. But we're not. That's not very original at all. If that's all you're hearing, you can hear that kind of thing in any world religion. 10 steps to this, 3 steps to this, 5 ways to be a better husband, 3 ways to be a better Christian, you know, on and on it goes. But that sort of self-improvement stuff, you can find that in religions around the world. What separates us is this. We don't have to wake up and try to be close to God, because we are close. We're in union with Jesus. What separates us is we don't have to wake up and try to spend time with God, because we already spend time with Him. We're in union with Him 24/7 without interruption. And lastly, our founder and our teacher rose from the dead, and He lives in us. And so we miraculously bear fruit. We bear fruit miraculously. And how does that happen? Why do I say miraculously? Because it's without effort. When you're actually bearing fruit, it's effortless, because it's Jesus. And so anybody can bear fruit, so to speak, with effort. And those are called good works, and they're like filthy rags in God's eyes. But you better believe there are some really disciplined, self-controlled unbelievers. There are some really disciplined, self-controlled, religious people who don't know Jesus at all. So that's why we cannot preach the result. We've got to preach the source, the cause, the motivation, the inspiration. And that's where the message of God's grace comes in, quite frankly, because that's the foundation for the Christian life. The foundation for the Christian life is Christ Himself. So, again, thanks for your call. Great question. Call us back anytime. All right, let's go to Canada. We'll talk with Kira. Hey, Kira, what do you got for us?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your reminders. teachings, but they are definitely reminders. I have a friend who's been praying and I guess trying to speak in tongues. So the other day, I guess she finally spoke in tongues. However, she couldn't control, like she couldn't stop it. So she, yeah. when she tried to speak in English to her kids, mm-hmm. Whenever she would open her mouth, it would just be like what she called tongues.
Right.
So what I'm wondering is, because God is, you know, not a God of confusion,
right.
if it was not of God, then what would it be of? Because
yeah.
Satan can't touch somebody who is saved. Like, she believes in Christ. She's, yeah, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, the enemy can't touch us, but the enemy can deceive us, and we can still make choices. I mean, there are true believers that fall over in church and flop around on the ground like a fish. There are true believers that get deceived about the gift of tongues and what it really is. And so it's not that the enemy's touching them. It's that they're choosing to believe a lie. They're choosing to believe false teaching. And they're also experience chasing. And I think that's what's happening with your friend. You know, you don't try to speak in tongues any more than I try to teach or try to preach, or somebody should try to encourage or try to love. If it's a spiritual gift, you don't try to do it. You also don't learn it in a class. You also don't repeat after me and do it by imitation. We don't find any of those in the New Testament. There are no spiritual gifts done by imitation. There are no spiritual gifts done by coursework. And there are no spiritual gifts done by human effort. The spiritual gifts that we're given are given by the Spirit, and they just happen according to the Spirit. But to answer your question, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for example, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And what that means is prophets are not out of control. They're not prophesying flamboyantly, you know, flopping around and moving around the church building, just prophesying totally out of control because, oh my goodness, I'm overtaken by the Holy Spirit and I just can't stop. No, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32 says the opposite. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. That means the prophets are in charge. They're in control of their own bodies and faculties. They're not out of control because this is not paganism and it's not Satanism, and God is not interested in taking over your body and controlling it while you act mindlessly. In fact, in regard to tongues, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, I will speak with my spirit and I will speak with my mind. In other words, I'm going to have my mind involved. So the true gift of tongues is about evangelism in a foreign language, a foreign human language, as we see in Acts 2. But what your friend is encountering, unfortunately, is a false teaching. There's an effort made to try to have a spiritual gift that's not really there. The reason that effort is made is because they're told every Christian should speak in tongues, or every Christian should have a second baptism or second experience or second blessing, or tongues is the evidence that you're saved. It's these sort of false teachings that induce a person to go after experiences, chasing after someone else's supposed spiritual gift. At the end of the day, I think we need to recognize the truth. We're complete in Christ. We're not lacking anything. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. No reason to go hunting, begging, pleading, hoping, or waiting for more. Because Jesus Christ is our life, Jesus Christ is our everything, and He is enough.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.